It is January 9th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Last week, we forgot to highlight a viewpoint piece from FIA Market Voice by FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan, titled Lessons from the Year of Crypto. The subheadline is, in the aftermath of FTX, markets must recognize the value of intermediation but not abandon innovation. It was this day in history that changed the world in many ways. The New York Post reminds us that January 9th was the day that Apple founder and CEO Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone at Macworld in San Francisco. Based on the uptake of the iPhone and the long lines in Michigan Avenue for it that year, it was a factor in my decision to start MarketsWiki when the MediaWiki software was made available by Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales. Belvedere Trading announced on LinkedIn that it was welcoming two new team members, Russell McManus as the new Chief Technology Officer and Ryan Mearsman as its new Chief Financial Officer. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is hiring student trainees for administrative, data science, economist, and legal positions. Sarah Myers is starting a new position as recruiting coordinator at Citadel. Catherine Hinu has joined Telarium as head of marketing and communications. Flavia Romero, the treasurer of Coinbase, announced on LinkedIn her intention to leave the company she joined in 2020. OSTC India is looking to hire talent to join its OSTC Markets Academy. Apply with a link in today's newsletter. Amin Kabaj has joined Man Group as director of responsible investment. The New York Times has a story saying Noma, rated the world's best restaurant, is closing its door. My question, so who's Noma 2? I have started to send out invoices for 2023 subscriptions to this newsletter. So if you'd like an invoice for yours, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. As a reminder, we give the newsletter free to college students, college professors, news media, and those truly retired. If you are a regular reader of JLN, you will be receiving an invoice in 2023. If you're at a firm that has an enterprise subscription with JLN and also receiving JLN at your personal email address, please email us back and let us know. The cost of an individual subscription of JLN is $200 per year per reader, which is about 75 cents per newsletter, or about what a newspaper used to cost. The enterprise subscription is $150 per reader, or about 57 cents per newsletter. All in all, a very good value, we believe. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our Gil Leisner Open Outcry Traders History Project Part 2 video. In Part 2 of his interview for the Open Outcry Traders History Project, Gilbert Leisner spoke about his relationship with Les Rosenthal. He recalled regularly meeting with Rosenthal at 4 a.m. after the 1987 stock market crash to go over risk issues. Invariably, Leisner would get a call from Rosenthal's wife asking if he was there, checking to see if Rosenthal really was headed to the office, as he said when he left home at 4 a.m. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Market Access. Market Access promotes Chris Concannon to Chief Executive Officer, Richard M. McVeigh to become Executive Chairman. The Board of Directors of Market Access Holding, Inc., the operator of leading electronic trading platform for fixed income securities and the provider of market data and post-trade services for the global fixed income markets, today announced that effective April 3rd, 2023, Richard M. McVeigh, currently Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, will become Executive Chairman, and Chris Concannon, currently President and Chief Operating Officer, will be promoted to Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Concannon will also continue to serve as a director on the company's board. My comment, Chris Concannon's move to Market Access from Cboe is looking better all the time. Here's a story from the Futures Industry Association. FIA urges SEC to exempt FCMs from expanded U.S. Treasuries clearing proposal. FIA has submitted comments to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in response to proposed rules establishing standards for covered clearing agencies for U.S. Treasury securities. The SEC has proposed rules that would significantly expand the scope of Treasury transactions, including both those in secondary markets and repurchase agreements that would have to be cleared at the Fixed Income Clearing Corporation. In its comments, FIA noted that Futures Commission Merchants, FCMs, registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission that are jointly registered with the SEC would be subject to the SEC's rules as well as existing CFTC rules governing FCMs. My comment, double your pain, double your displeasure. Here's a story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, a new area of AI booms even amid the tech gloom. An investment frenzy over generative artificial intelligence has gripped Silicon Valley as tools that generate text, images, and sounds in response to short prompts seize the imagination. 5 weeks ago, OpenAI, a San Francisco artificial intelligence lab, released ChatGPT, a chatbot that answers questions in clear, concise prose. The AI-powered tool immediately caused a sensation, with more than a million people using it to create everything from poetry to high school term papers to rewrites of Queen songs. Now, OpenAI is in the midst of a new gold rush. My comment, the new gold rush is OpenAI. Just ask it. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Developers pitch $1.2 billion of LaSalle Street residential conversions. Some of Chicago's best-known developers are collectively pitching more than $1.2 billion worth of projects to turn outdated office buildings on and near LaSalle Street into places to live, a key step towards what could be a historic transformation of the vacancy-ridden Loop thoroughfare. Responding to a call for such proposals from Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who is dangling tax increment financing and other public incentives to help finance them, developers submitted 9 proposals for 7 different properties, according to a spokesman for the Department of Planning and Development. My comment, are you looking for an apartment on LaSalle Street? One with your name on it is coming soon. Here's a story, this one from The Atlantic. The U.S. is naive about Russia. Ukraine can't afford to be. Putin is right about one thing. A free, prosperous, democratic neighbor is a threat to his autocratic regime. Children twirled around a skating rink just outside the president's office in central Kiev last week, while tourists took pictures of themselves in front of onion-domed, snow-dusted churches. The stores were full of people shopping for the New Year's holiday and Orthodox Christmas, just as they always are at this time of year. The airports were crowded. My comment. This is a must-read. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. FTX seeks to recoup Sam Bankman-Fried's charitable donations. Nonprofits struggle to decide how to handle money received from bankrupt crypto exchange. Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX doled out millions in charitable donations. Now new management is asking for it back. Some of the money, however, has already been spent, and the gifts flowed through myriad sources and agreements that are proving difficult to tally. My comment. This is an interesting concept that all money is not the same. There is a risk in taking charitable contributions from, quote, new money, unquote, or firms that might blow up where you would be asked to give it back. Maybe we need a market to hedge this risk. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was, the Winklevoss twins are in a big mess and it has to do with crypto from Fortune. Second was, Citadel posts record revenues for hedge fund securities operations from the Wall Street Journal. Third was, billionaire Mark Cuban warns the next crypto implosion could come from, quote, wash trades, unquote, report says from Business Insider. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, risk management at crypto firms is in focus following FTX collapse. Recent turmoil has prompted questions about what the nascent industry is doing to manage risks and how to identify red flags that signal a firm is in trouble. Cryptocurrency companies are disclosing more information about their internal controls and risk management following the collapse of FTX, but a level of transparency in the industry that would make many investors feel comfortable remains far off. Without a federal regulatory regime for the nascent crypto industry in the U.S., risk management measures vary by firm, and it remains difficult for outside observers, including investors and customers, to determine how effective these controls are until things go bad, industry experts say. Then here's the next story, this one from Bloomberg. Crypto empire DCG faces U.S. investigation over internal transfers. EDNY SEC said to be reviewing money flows between companies. Scrutiny follows losses stemming from 2022 crypto turmoil. U.S. authorities are digging into the internal financial dealings of Barry Silbert's expansive crypto empire, according to people familiar with the matter. Federal prosecutors in Brooklyn are scrutinizing transfers between Digital Currency Group, Inc., and an embattled subsidiary that offers crypto lending services, said the people, who asked not to be named because the probe hasn't been made public. They're also delving into what investors were told about those transactions. And then here's another story, this one from Business Insider. The headline, China looks to weaken U.S. dollar with Petro-Yuan as oil producers rally to Beijing and Russia has become an Asian nation, analyst says. While the dollar will likely remain the dominant global currency in the near future, the rise of a so-called Petro-Yuan will gain momentum as China leverages its status as the world's biggest oil importer. Analysts say the greenback remains the top currency for trade and foreign reserves, but Beijing is increasingly pushing the yuan as a currency for oil deals, challenging the dollar's lead in commodity markets. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.